And with your spirit.
Good morning.
We celebrate today because it's the third Sunday of ordinary time. We are so close to the end of this liturgical year. In 2 weeks, we will celebrate first Sunday of Advent and first Sunday of new liturgical year. It is why in our readings these last days and weeks, we are more and more listening about the end of the times, about the end of our life, end of this world, and what will happen next. We ask God that we can prepare ourselves in the best way. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will it be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to the prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refuse. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, stated at the opening of Mass, we are coming to the end of the liturgical year, and every year we hear these cataclysmic, apocalyptic type of end of times that the church places these gospel readings and the first and second reading, because we are coming to the end of the liturgical year to remind us that we are continually coming and dying, coming to the end of our lives. And so this is a good time to perhaps review, remind ourselves what it is all about, this life that we have been given, and given a great charge to live it responsibly, holy, adoring God, that we may inherit eternal life and share his very nature. And so three questions perhaps we can ask ourselves. First of all, and we know most of these answers because of our catechism and what we've been taught, where do we come from? What is our purpose? Where are we going? Whether you're a Catholic, a Christian, no matter what religion, we all want to know where we came from. What is our purpose and where are we going? We know that we were made in the image of God. And this past week, one of the readings of daily Mass was from the Book of Wisdom, "God formed man to be imperishable. The image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who are in his possession experience it." And that is our duty, that is our work, that is our lot, to know, are we in the possession of the devil? We say, "Well, no, I reject it." But the devil's very sneaky, very insidious. And sin can hold on to us and we not even know it. But the wisdom says in the book, but the souls of the just are in the hand of God. So we know where we came from. God made us. the dignity of a man and a woman made in his image, the object held before our soul, our body, our mind, is union with God and none other. That is it. It is union with God. And the will of God and the sufferings and irritations and all what happens to humankind because of the fall, God has permitted. And in that, we are pruned, we are tamed, we are trained the way of the truth and the life to inherit, to be able to visit, to see the vision of the face of God. The object is union. The most perfect and exalted contemplation of God and the most sweet love of God intimately possessed and enjoyed. That is heaven. That is heaven. And the third, of course, where are we going? Well, we just heard. So while on our earthly sojourn, we beg for perfect pardon of sin, that we may know our true sin. Not the sin that's told that we compare ourselves to anybody or to anything or to any crime. Well, I don't do that. But my brothers and sisters, we have sin and we accumulate sin. And Father Bill has a great saying. You can clean a room and you can close the door and nobody use that room and dirty it, and dust collects. We know that. Dust collects. And you go back a year later and that room is dirty. But yet, it hasn't been used. That is how the soul is. We must continually review our life, pray, and beg God for the pardon, and we may know our sins. And secondly, that we know and live the pure love of God, and that we have the grace of a holy death. Grace of a holy, peaceful death, that we have lived a life still begging the mercy of God, but we have done everything possible for God to grant us His face. Grace. Grace, that supernatural gift freely given in baptism that penetrates hearts, renews them, elevates us, transforms us into God Himself. We are, after the saints did their lives, and we are confirmed in their beatification and in their canonization, that they were worthy of the promises of Christ to see His face transforming. They became a God. God in this world. St. Catherine of Siena states regarding grace, "Oh, gentle Jesus, it is really true that you are peace, our peace, our tranquility, our serenity of conscience." Serenity of conscience, how beautiful. No bitterness or sadness or poverty can touch the soul in whom you live by grace. Grace lifts us up out of the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world drags us down. And the two are diametrically opposed, and the battlefield is the human soul. Yes. Oh yes. That spirit of the world, a turbulent whirlwind of egotism fixated on pleasure, seeking only itself, vainglory, applause, sensory satisfaction of the passions, where from duplicity is born fraud, lies, injustice, showing off, pride, impurity, disorder, infatuation with entertainment and distractions, degrading man and woman to a slave unto himself and herself. The author of all this is none other than Satan. Just like we heard in the reading, the author of good is God, the author of Satan is everything that is disorder. It keeps us and robs us of this grace. That's our lot. That is our poverty. If we are not realizing that we are poor in the eyes of God, and we don't know what we're about, that we're continually tempted. And we have to really pray about that. Ask God, am I ready for death? The spirit of the world is completely opposed to the spirit of Christ. And we know that spirit. Some examples. Jesus Christ, that who is, I am, the way, the truth, and the life. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. If he tells us to do something, it's not impossible. Without grace, it is impossible. Without continual review and examination of conscience and time and prayer, we can easily go off the deep end. We see that. We've seen great people fall and shatter right before us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who weep, for they shall be consoled. Completely opposed to the spirit of the world. Blessed are those who suffer persecution for justice's sake. These words seem audacious, and yet in them is hidden the great secret of happiness and of peace, even now. Even now in the midst of disorder, of anxiety, of suffering, and even in the midst of death around the corner. Hence the urgency of today's reading. Number one, the prophet Malachi. No mincing of words here. Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will be like stubble. Oh, I'm not an evildoer. I don't murder. We can murder with our eyes, with the way we talk to someone. The second reading, the disorder of human conduct. I don't mean to go there. At a touch of a button of a finger of a phone, we see and hear the most horrific things that are occurring in the human soul and human mind, and then acted out against other brothers and sisters. Disorder of what it is, a man and woman married in the sacrament of marriage. And in the gospel reading, Christ is clear, the impending evil to come, to believe only in the one testimony amidst the earthquakes and the fire that occur in ourselves and in around us is Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ crucified. Not Jesus crucified, not risen, he will rise, but we must go through the crucifixion. Believe in the one testimony of Jesus Christ. And then he states at the end, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. He says, you will secure your lives. He doesn't say, I will secure your lives. He has given us the playbook. He has done his part. But our salvation depends also on us. He says, you will secure it. Because we must act with God in becoming like God, which is our lot. This urgency or sense in the readings that we have one more week or two more weeks of is the eschaton. Eschaton. The end times. And eschatology is the study of the reality of the four last things that you don't hear that much. But back in the day, back was the four last things. Four last things of the priesthood of the church are death, judgment, heaven, and hell. The early Christians knew the eschaton. They knew the last four things because they were considered enemies of the state. And so death was imminent. And it was on their minds and in their thoughts. And said, death is a real thing. I see Christians being stuck on coals and lit as fire, as torches under Nero. I see Christians being beheaded. We hear how St. Paul was beheaded. It was real. It's like 9/11. When the next day after 9/11, we were expecting maybe something else was going to happen, the fourth plane. And said, what was going to happen to us? 9/11 goes by and people don't remember. Because it's away from historical events. And so this urgency, that's why the church has to bring it, of the last four things. Our minds wither. We forget. Finally, Constantine made Rome, made Christianity the official religion of Rome. And with that, Christianity was normal. And so again, the four last things, life is good. Prosperity. It is a known thing, it's been written, that the USA, Australia, and some parts of Europe are prosperous and are stable. And in that, life is good. And the thought of, and pleasure is high and self-seeking is high and the thoughts of death and all the last four things kind of goes by the wayside. It makes sense. It's human nature. But go to Africa. Go to the Middle East where heads of Christians are being lopped off. You don't hear it. You don't see it. It's not going to come out in the paper. But if you read the right news, there are Christians being martyred, tortured, because they are Christians. Don't take it from me. Read the Catechism, sections 1020 to 1065. My brothers and sisters, regarding the last times. Make no mistake. Don't fool yourself. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Purgatory is real. And so, as people living, working, retiring, being busy with everything we have to do to feed ourselves, feed our families, serve our community, we have to ask ourselves, what is our ultimate concern and drive that gets us out of bed in the morning? What really do we base our lives on? What would we say if someone asked that? Our religion, my brothers and sisters, think about this. Our religion has to be our ultimate concern. Because death is very, very real. And judgment and hell is very, very real. So, if our ultimate concern is not the salvation of our immortal soul and that of our brother and sister, then we really, really need to reevaluate.